Earth and Sky.
Global warming is a serious issue and that it requires our joint action. I like to make the point that we don't need to despair. There are many things the industry, but also individual consumers can do to reduce the use of energy and to also, by changing the choices we make in our lives, basically significantly bring down the demand on scarce natural resources. So I think that's a positive thing. We can do things ourselves.
You're listening to Jan van der Eyck, Chief Technology Officer for Shell, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Carbon dioxide, or CO2, is released in the burning of fossil fuels. Most scientists agree that this increased CO2 is causing Earth's climate to change. Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar spoke with Dr. van der Eyck about whether technology can help reduce rising levels of CO2 in Earth's atmosphere.
Dr. van der Eyck, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Yeah, thank you.
What is Shell's position on the burning of fossil fuels in relationship to global warming?
The Earth is warming up, scientists are telling us that. And scientists also tell us that it is very likely related to the increase in CO2 levels that is caused by the use of fossil energy. We within Shell have decided that we believe the debate about all the causal links is over and that it's time now to act and find ways to provide the world with energy whilst mitigating the negative consequences of CO2 on the temperature of the planet.
Now, I guess behind this problem of global warming is the world's demand for energy. With the world's increased demand and use of energy, CO2 levels will rise. How do you expect science and technology to deal with this problem?
Well, first of all, this is a real challenge, and we don't have an easy answer to this. The increased use of energy is related to a growth in world population and related to an increase in the living conditions of billions of people, and we clearly all are committed to help the people to improve these living conditions. Now, it's clear that if we would meet all these needs in the way we did in the past, we will get to a very significant increase in fossil energy use, and with that also an increase in CO2 levels. Now, today, there are already many technologies available that will help us to have less CO2 emissions than we would have if we would just do it the way we did it in the past. There are quite a number of relatively easy implementable things that reduce the use of energy by making better and more efficient use of the energy available. Then we can start with storing CO2 in the subsurface, avoiding emissions into the air. We can aggressively push wind. We can build our houses differently. So I think it's a real challenge, but it's also true that there are many things we can start doing today and don't require an incredible or not ever seen jump in science.
Let me follow up on that. What are some examples of how Shell is lowering their CO2 emissions?
Now, we are having a whole spectrum of projects. Our biggest in-house effort, so to say, is to make sure that we ourselves produce as low an amount of CO2 as possible. And that brings us to the subject of energy efficiency. In all our refineries, we are scrutinizing the opportunities to reduce the use of energy and make sure that the CO2 footprint of the products we make, so to say, that they are as low as possible. Then we have a significant program to make products available to our consumers that allow our consumers to emit less CO2. So here you have to think about fuel that allow you to make more miles per gallon than regular stuff. Also new lubricants that reduce the friction of the car and also adds to fuel efficiency. And we believe that is, although we're talking here about a few percentage improvements, if you just multiply it by the totality of the transportation sector, we're talking about big CO2 numbers there. And then we have projects where we are testing the whole concept of capture. We do this sometimes alone, but frequently with others in joint industry projects, also here in Europe. And then we have a pipeline of projects where we demonstrate the long-term feasibility of CO2 injection and storage. What we find ourselves today in is that to get all the things in place to allow a CCS project to happen, and here you have to think about permits, some of the legal frameworks in which things like liabilities are sorted out, but also local acceptance by the population that injection will take place. All these subjects are complex, and we find the going quite tough in terms of getting all the noses aligned and move forward. So in general, we feel that we would like these projects to move forward more aggressively than they're doing today, and it's very much has to do with the need to build up frameworks, legal frameworks, but also societal acceptance of the testing.
Some people are uneasy about having millions of tons of CO2 buried underground near to where they live or work. What would you like to tell someone who's nervous about CO2 storage?
Now, first of all, I understand that nervousness. If you are getting a change clear near where you are living, you really want to make sure that that doesn't impact your life. So I'm understanding this. It's clear, it's what I would mention to people with this concern, is that, of course, you cannot store CO2 everywhere. Then you need to meet certain conditions. And these conditions are that there is a subsurface where there is space for the CO2, so pores. If you don't have that space and you would try to bring it in, you're going to crack and frack the subsurface, and that is something that's undesirable. Secondly, when you have brought it in, you also want to make sure it can't escape. And that has to do with, is there a cap over the reservoir that keeps the gas below it? And can the gas drift into other areas over time, or is it actually meeting physical boundaries? And it's what I would suggest, that when somebody is nervous, that he make sure that he understands from the experts why the reservoir in which the CO2 is injected has been chosen, and whether all the factors that make it safe and responsible are in place. And I think we will find that there are quite a number of places in the world in which we meet those conditions. A last, perhaps reassuring thought is that many people have lived on top of underground in which millions of tons of gas have been stored for millions of years, and that has never led to nervousness. And the reason is that people haven't experienced escape of that gas to the surface. So I think it's not a totally new experiment the world gets into. So, human society has lived on reservoirs contained with gas for many, many years, and it has been done in a safe way.
You've been listening to Jan van der Rijk, Chief Technology Officer for Shell. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.